released now. A new free book aims to help children make sense of the complicated feelings that follow a deep loss called The Way Home. And it's written by Dr. Trudy Meehan, who is also a lecturer and researcher at the Centre for Positive Health Sciences at the RCSI, that's the Royal College of Surgeons Ireland, University of Medicine and Health Sciences. And I spoke to her a little bit earlier on, and I first of all asked her to tell us a little bit about her own story and how her experience, I suppose, inspired this idea.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark. It's unfortunately, it's a common story for many people, but my daughter's father died by suicide when my daughter was just 2 years old. And then I suppose you have all the normal things that kick in when somebody, you know, passes away. But what very quickly became apparent for me, I suppose, was how do I tell my daughter that her dad has died? And then the second thing that came very soon after was how do I tell her that he died by suicide? And I think for me, because I had the benefit, I suppose, of working as a clinical psychologist with young people at the time when this happened. And sadly, for the young people, I was working with teenagers who had lost parents to suicide. And the big thing that they asked was, well, if they loved me so much, why would they have left me? And for me, that became, I suppose, a bit of a worry that I needed to find a way to answer that question for the day when my little girl would ask me that question.
Yeah, first of all, I'm sorry for your loss. That must have been a very difficult situation, especially with such a young child. And it does, it's a theme that I suppose, as you say, is common amongst people who've been through that situation, is that there's an unanswerable question there, which I suppose the book tries to help answer.
Exactly. And for me, because it seems so unanswerable, and I spoke to some bereavement experts, and their first answer was, just tell her, we can never know why. And I thought, well, like, you don't know my daughter. She's super curious. She's never going to stop asking. The most kids are like that. And it also felt a little bit professional, and, you know, it didn't feel good enough. And so I thought about it a bit, and I knew from psychology that bad things are stronger than good things. They stick. And then I had this idea that, you know, when soldiers get tortured, they give up their secrets. And torture works because pain is stronger than loyalty and love for your country. And it just clicked. You know, sometimes pain can be stronger than love, and it can disconnect us from ourselves and our loved ones. And that became, I suppose, the answer, that, you know, people are in a situation where their pain becomes so strong that they get disconnected from hope. And I started to think then of an astronaut kind of abandoned in space. He'd had an accident while he was out on a spacewalk. His radio gets smashed up. His oxygen's running low. So he's in a lot of physical pain as well. He feels like an idiot because he can't fix it. And home base are sending a rescue ship. The family and friends are sending messages of love. But his radio is broken. He's mishearing messages, so things are coming through in a jumbled way. He doesn't know there's help on the way. And he starts to lose hope. So his hope is too small and his pain is too big. And that became kind of the metaphor that I wanted to be able to share. That when she asked this question, I can say, remember that story with the astronaut? I think with your dad, you know, maybe he had a lot of pain and, you know, his brain was confused with, you know, depression, and that's a disease that causes a lot of pain and confusion. And maybe he was a bit like that astronaut, and the astronaut loved his family very much, but he lost hope and he didn't know anybody was coming to get him, and he didn't know there was help out there. And I think for me, one of the big things, just from working with young people, that I did with the story was I left the ending unfinished. So on the last page, the rescue ship arrives and they say, don't go, astronaut. We're here. We're going to bring you home. But he's already cut his safety cord and he's starting to float into space. So the child or the young person gets to decide, did they get to him in time? And for me, the young person knows the person they love has died. They don't need to retell that or re-experience it. but they can talk about the emotions, but they can escape into a story or their imagination or creativity and come up with an ending that takes them away from the pain for now. So the first time I read the story for my little girl, she said at the end, "They picked him up, Mammy. They rescued him and they all went home in the ship and they drank apple juice and ate pizza and laughed all the way home." And that's okay. A lot of people would think, oh, she doesn't understand that her dad died. She very much does. But just having that space of being able to take the sad bit and move into a more positive story, that's how kids process grief a lot of the time. You need to let them feel the hard things, but also let them feel that they can escape into play or into another space that's just a little bit more positive. Then they can come back to the grief and the pain, and then they can go back into playing and back into normal life. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I suppose it gives them the room to interpret appropriately for how they're feeling and how they, you know, want to experience the story at any one time. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, I don't want to go into all of that today. I've done enough thinking about the sad things. Let's just have a happy ending for this story today. Yeah, and I think it's important because they have so little agency when something tragic like that happens to them as well, you know?
Yeah, it's very powerful. And as a concept, I certainly think that someone taking their own life is something that adults find difficult to reason with, because it's not a reasonable thing to think.
Exactly.
I think we struggle to put ourselves in that mindset and possibly oversimplify things just for that reason. But how difficult is that for a child then? You know, someone who, as you say, they're all curious and they may not have that emotional, I suppose, perspective yet.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so difficult. And a lot of adults who've read the book, and I suppose across the ages in that way, have said that I've been angry with my friend, or, you know, who died and left his kids, and I couldn't understand how somebody could do that. But now I've read the story and I have compassion for the astronaut. I can understand and I can forgive my friend. And I think that's important. And, you know, for a young person as well, if especially if it's a parent, it's very difficult for a child to express anger at a parent. And one of the things for my little girl, another time when she read the book, she just said, you know, that's not okay. He can't just give up hope like that. It's not okay to give up hope. That's totally wrong. And she could be angry with the astronaut in a way that she can't be angry with her dad just now. So, you know, and I think it's okay. There's space to be angry with the behavior and the action of ending your life and still be able to have compassion for the person who did it. But sometimes we feel that we can't be angry at all, and the anger gets silenced or shut down. And I think that's, for me, that's the value of art or literature or stories. All of the emotions can have space because it's a story. And that's the value of story and pictures and art for me, you know.
And as well, an important part of this, I suppose, is that you can come back to it and it will have that different interpretation, or it might stoke a different emotion every time, I suppose. It's something that you can pick up and put down.
Exactly. And that's, for me, it was very deliberately not a self-help book, you know, with lots of description about suicide. It's a storybook that has a story that relates to the experience of people who've lost somebody. And they can just pick it up. It's non-threatening. You're not forcing the child to face the reality of suicide. You're telling a story in which their emotional life is represented. And so they feel they're not alone. And then they're safe to encounter it because they can come and go with the story. It's just a story. And they can pick it up and have a look through it. It's like listening to a sad song. You know, when you're in a sad mood, it's kind of comforting. And then some days you just can't bear to listen to a sad song. It's too much.
Yeah.
And when it's just a storybook, you can pick it up and you can leave it down again, you know.
And how much of a help, Trudy, was your professional experience in knowing how to allow young people and children to access those difficult emotions and break them down, and ensuring that, I suppose, a situation that's individual can be accessed through common themes?
It was invaluable. Like, you know, it sounds like a strange thing to say, but I was lucky in that I had my profession to fall back on. You know, you're so disoriented when something like that happens, just as a mom or as a kind of lay person. And all I had, and I remember talking to my mom and, you know, I was saying, I'm bringing our daughter to the funeral home. And my mom was going, you can't bring a child to the funeral home. And I said, Mom, as a mom, I don't know what to do. I'm completely lost. But as a psychologist, there's books and there's research. And so I'm going to fall back on that because I know that somebody with expertise has come up with this as a recommendation. And that's what I'm going to fall back on. So I had kind of a guiding light to structure my next steps the whole way along. And really, I just say to encourage people, there's lots of resources out there to guide you, and to help people know what the next best step. And you just do it step by step. And it's one step at a time. And just knowing the right thing to do takes that burden, because you're already so emotionally overwhelmed and you're just trying to be with the little person in your life and support them. And then having to make huge decisions, is this the right thing, is really hard, you know?
Yeah, and of course, obviously, in that situation, you won't know how the child will react. It'll depend on their own personality and their own experiences and everything.
Exactly, and every child is different, you know? So even, you know, and I'd say that to people, you know, there's no one right way. And the most important thing is your child needs you. And you being honest and connected to them is the main thing. And then the right words and the, you know, they'll come in time. But it's the feeling of being connected with you. That's the safest thing for a young person when they're facing loss.
Yeah. And on a theme you touched on as well, Trudy, there's a Kerry link to the book, which is the illustrator Fergal O'Connor. And naturally, for a book aimed at children, illustrations are important. But how much do they help you kind of tell the story and convey the right tone?
They're everything. So I find it strange talking about this book as my book, because it's got very few words. And the thing that makes the book work and that makes the book are the illustrations. Every page is filled with so many meanings and emotional layers because of Fergal's talent. So, you know, this book is Fergal's achievement. I just had like a few lines to string a story together. But without finding Fergal, it would have fallen flat. And it's the talent of his artistry. He was the right artist and the right illustrator, because he can hold the darkness and the sadness, but he holds the sadness with enough light that makes it safe, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's hope going through all the images, but also a realism, because some of the children's books before this one I had looked at with my daughter, but they were too positive, and I found her shoulders slumping as if she didn't recognize her reality in them. They were too cheerful. So there needs to be an appropriate level of sadness and, you know, hard things that connect with the child, that makes them feel like, I see you, I see your life. And Fergal brought that into his images.
That's a difficult balance.
Yeah, it's so difficult, you know, and very few people can hold those two things so with such skill, and Fergal could do it. So I was blessed to find him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the book is called The Way Home, and it's available now, or is it coming out soon, Trudy?
It's available now, and people can find it just on thewayhome.ie, and a few bookshops will start to stock it over the next few weeks. And just to say, people can buy it online for free. The main thing is that it's a public resource for people. There's a postage cost, and so if people have resources, they can pay $6.99. If money is tight, it's free. Because it was funded by a lot of goodwill with the Hospice Foundation, Creative Ireland, the Natural Health Store in Wexford funded it, and it was funded by the public with the GoFundMe campaign. So it's a community book. It's not my book, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody wants it or feels it would help somebody, you know, they're very welcome to get it and share it around.
Yeah, well, on behalf of anyone who picks it up and is a help to, you know, just thanks for turning your experience of a very difficult situation into a help for others. I think that should be said as well.
Thanks very much, Mark, and thanks for helping me share the book and hopefully get it into the hands of people who need it.
Yeah, no problem at all. But thanks for your time, Trudy, and I appreciate it. And best luck with the book. I hope it goes well, and all the best to you and yours.
That's brilliant. Thanks very much, Mark.